Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Hour number 2 has arrived. Thanks for being here. Busy first hour. We had Sally Jenkins on talking about the unbelievable win yesterday by LSU. And the bottom of the hour, a little football conversation. We'll continue with your phone calls right now. And Augie is in New Orleans.
Paul, we finally beat Iowa in something. You know, we have the hardest time beating Iowa in anything. You know, this year, Iowa's baseball team beat us in this Big Ten Challenge. So, and remember, Saban got beat by Iowa in a bowl game, well, I think before he darted out of Baton Rouge. We just don't have any luck against Iowa, but I guess this was the biggest game we ever played against Iowa, and we won it. And speaking of basketball, do you hear Bobby Knight's in the hospital? It sounds pretty serious.
It does sound serious, yeah. He's 82 years old. He was rushed to the hospital over the weekend on the eve of the NCAA championship, which he has won 3 times.
So I'm hoping he pulls out of that and gets better. But, Paul, that lady from Kentucky, Shirley, I think you can pitch her against Hugh in a prepared
I think she topped you because, I mean, she made it sound natural. And Augie, you understand this, and I feel like I do too. People who speak for a living or speak a lot, the chances of constructing a sentence that accurately, extemporaneously, is virtually zero. I mean, I don't, maybe Joel Osteen or Billy Graham could have done it. I can't do it.
It's pretty hard to do. I mean, you have to do a lot of speaking in order to get that done. But there are some that are really good. You can tell they speak on the fly, and it seems like they've got it just memorized. But it goes on for hours, so it's like, okay, these people are really speaking from their head. But so Keith Olbermann, did you see his comments where he retracted them quickly?
Yeah, Olbermann immediately blasted April, and then he realized he had no idea when he said that Caitlin Clark had done the same thing.
No, I mean, so what do you think about that? He shoots his mouth off, he criticizes Angel, and then he gets blasted back on Twitter by others, and he says, well, you know, I really didn't know what I was talking about. I mean, what kind of defense is that?
And what's sad to me, as somebody that has known Keith over the years, is this was a man who, 25 years ago, was the number one sportscaster in America. And now he's just become a sad caricature of that. And I think that's part of the problem with social media. And I've asked people like him before, why do you engage that way? And their answer is they really don't have any other way to engage. So I get that.
No,
but it's very dangerous for anyone. And I know people love it and it's fun. But when you start popping off in the heat of the moment and you don't know what you're talking about, you are going to get blown away and exposed in seconds.
In nanoseconds.
Yeah.
And, you know, I never hear that kind of thing from Scott Van Pelt. I mean, he seems like a pretty straightforward and very cerebral kind of guy. I don't know if you know him or not, but he's always been okay with me. But as far as people complaining about what was done, I didn't see anything wrong that was going on there. And, you know, it's not like I grew up in the 50s. I grew up in the 70s and 80s. And, I mean, we did much worse than that. We used our fingers, but we didn't point to a ring finger. And that's all she was doing. Burrow did it. And I'm not so sure about the, you know, issue of taunting her individually. Maybe she was, but that happens all the time. And guys get into fights. And isn't it something, Paul, do you think this controversy has actually added to the interest in women's sports? I think it has.
Yeah, I do. And I think, I mean, I looked up at TV today. It was the first story on First Take. And I'm willing to bet that the NCAA final game has never been the first story on First Take. I think it did. And it also helped that people like Dave Portnoy from Barstool just went all in on her. I mean, you may have seen what he said.
I didn't.
Look it up. I mean, he basically, I'm not going to repeat it. Danny Cannell called her classless. But again.
Danny Cannell? Come on.
Yeah, I'm reading. Danny Cannell tweeted yesterday, right as the game ended, what a classless move by Angel Reese.
Oh, my God. Okay, so Danny Cannell, though, has never been in a position to do what she did, has he?
Well, I mean, he did play. He played on a national championship team, I think.
Did he? Okay, then.
I don't remember, but I think he may have.
One last thing, though, Paul. Update LSU baseball. They did win 2 out of 3 against Tennessee, but they did get blown out Saturday. So not so bad as Meatloaf would say. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And again, everyone has had has offered opinions, and you know, some of them were a little. There's degrees of classlessness by people who tweet. I would say Portnoy was the worst I saw, but by no means was he alone in the boat. Kathy is in Georgia. Hello, Kathy. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. My take on the game, it was great. My take on what happened, there was class on it because she didn't do anything that we don't do in football. When they do the gator chomp, we chomp back when Georgia's winning. She done nothing wrong. It's just because she's a woman and she was in control. Everybody needs to get a life. That's part of it. If they don't like it, don't watch it. But she showed class. She has a right to put her finger up and put the ring on it. She deserved it. They won it. End of story. Everybody get a life and watch football. Look at how we all do in football. So leave the women alone.
Okay. You got it. Pembroke is up next.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. This is Pembroke. I tell you, I can't quit laughing. I've heard some funny stuff on there today. I wanted to talk to you about the game. Congratulations to the LSU women. It was amazing. They were balling like nothing I've seen. I saw a couple of the women do stuff yesterday. I was like, oh, my God, how can they possibly be that good? But they were. On the other subject, I'm not, you know, we've got other things to talk about. You know, I'm an Alabama fan, so I'd much rather talk about Alabama than than some gesture. It's funny because, you know, I heard the young guy earlier say that in the 70s and 80s, hell, the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, I probably did things that were unbecoming of a gentleman, should we say. So I have a question for you, though. Why are you against watching the game tonight? Because I'm a little confused about that, and I'm glad to hear some positive stuff coming out of Tuscaloosa. I'm like every other Alabama fan out there. I'm certainly concerned, but I know the main man, Coach Nick Saban's going to have it in his back pocket. So thank you very much.
By the way, I'm not boycotting the game. I'll watch it. I may not stay for long. I just don't have a compelling interest in the two schools, but I'm not going to make a big deal about it. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's the national championship in basketball. I'll probably stay with it as long as it's interesting. What about you, Randy?
Same. I might do a half.
Yeah, I'm not having a watch party. I can assure you, with all my UConn friends.
Yeah.
Let's check out Jack in Nashville. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Paul, how's it going, man?
Very well, thank you.
I wanted to switch up the topic a little bit and just talk about a little football, a little college football. Basically, I wanted to send a message to the Alabama fans and Nick Saban down there in Tuscaloosa. Basically, I wanted to tell them that there's a new era, and it's the era of the dogs. And whether they don't like it or not, they can just get used to it because that's the way things are now. And the dogs are here to stay. And we're going to continue to succeed and thrive, and I think Nick Saban knows that. And I'm just wondering your output on it.
Well, I think I love when people say what the previous caller just said, that I have total faith in Nick Saban. I don't think you cannot have faith in Nick Saban, except the Nick Saban of 2023 is not the Nick Saban of 10 years ago. This program is in a different position. It's not ascending any longer. And I think you have to be legitimately concerned. Kirby Smart's program looks like the program right now. You're exactly right.
Yep, and I'm telling you, man, Nick Saban, quote me on this, he said it himself, the best job in America is a job at Georgia if the right guy is there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the statements like that don't mean a whole lot to me, but I think when you look at Saban, you have to examine everything about it, and I know we'll have this conversation, and if Saban wins this year, then everyone is going to – it's not like I have – I mean, I've predicted Nick Saban to win every national championship since he's been there practically, so I'm not exactly anti-Nick Saban. Nobody's been a bigger and more fervent supporter, but I do think – he is facing a different playing field right now with a completely new staff, which he's had before, and an unknown quarterback, which he has not had in 8 years. That's a big change. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Great to have all of you here. Let's check in with Sterling, who is up next. Good afternoon, Sterling.
Good afternoon, Paul. What is your current feelings about SEC sports as of current?
Well, Sterling, that is a big world that you've asked me about, but mostly I feel very good about it. I think you look at, starting yesterday with women's basketball, you look at baseball where you have so many of the top teams ranked from the SEC. Football, you have a two-time champion in Georgia. Countless other sports that the SEC excels in. I think this is probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, period of time in SEC sports history.
I agree with you. They are pretty dominant at the current. What would you say was your favorite, college team growing up?
I was probably as a younger person watching college football. I probably saw the most of Alabama because of the era that they were in, and the coach that they had in Paul Bryant.
That is fair.
It's a class project. What's the next question, Sterling?
Who do you think would be most likely to have a good redemption story against the, do you think Iowa would, no, never mind. My bad. That's nice. Do you think LSU would come back for another championship in women's?
No, I don't. I think it would be extremely difficult to repeat. We've seen that. I mean, Connecticut did it for a lot. But I think you hit the reset button, and suddenly LSU will be a marked team next year. I'm not saying they can't. I mean, they'll be one of the favorites. But I think you'll see UConn back. They have one of the two or three best players in the country that was not available this year because of an injury. You'll see Iowa back with probably the most touted player. LSU will certainly be in the top three or four. And don't forget South Carolina, which will go through a little bit of a transitional year. But still, they'll have something to say. Hey, you be well. You take care of it. That was quite an interview there, wasn't it? Man, I wonder what the next. I didn't know what the next question was going to be. I was getting nervous. Rick is in Houston. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. Sterling was on it, wasn't he?
Man, I hope he got an A for that.
I do too. Hey, Paul, outside of the, the taunting controversy, which really isn't one, I got to say, I'll just say this. Like the MLB promo from a couple of years back, let the kids play. I'm not offended by bat flips. I'm not offended by you can't see me. If anything, I think let the kids show their emotions. I remember when the NFL really cracked down on celebrations, and it made the game more boring.
But to me, Rick, it's one thing to walk out and do something. I mean, this is at the end of a punishing game for the national championship, and maybe I'll be proven to be incorrect on this, but I seriously doubt that April Reese woke up Sunday morning and said, when we win, this is what I'm going to do to Caitlin Clark. I think she probably she remembered what Clark had done previously, and maybe as the game was winding down, she thought about it. But I think we act like this thing is a choreographed Shakespeare play. It's not. I mean, this is real time here.
Yeah, by the same token, I don't think it was, when Caitlin Clark did it in the other game, no, that it was premeditated on her part.
No, and you could put the two taunts side by side and say one was less offensive than the other. But in the end, go down to the YMCA on Saturday morning and you'll see a lot worse than that.
Oh, Paul, I'm about to turn 65 and played a lot of church league basketball, and trust me, we did worse in church league than that.
Oh, sure. And I think it was because of the moment. And I think it doesn't matter. I mean, anything in a game that's seen by millions of people, that's standalone, the moment is going to be exacerbated, and that's what it was. And I thought her response was really interesting when she was asked about it afterwards. She was explaining, this is who I am. And she was proud of it, which I compliment her for.
She definitely owned it, and I think it's admirable. She didn't back down, and I think that's great. Hey, Paul, outside of let's just say outside of a few players like Caitlin and Angel and Aaliyah, who in the tournament really impressed you? Because I tell you, I was really impressed with the young lady from Australia, Georgia Amor from Virginia Tech.
Yeah, she was very good.
A player.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of phenomenal moments in that tournament. But I thought Friday night was really the all-timer. I mean, first of all, the LSU game, they were trying to remember the tone of the game. They were okay. Then they went down, and then they lost the lead. They went down by 10 or 11, and then they came back and just blew it out. That was quite an amazing moment. But, you know, the one thing that we're not talking about is the biggest story of the entire tournament, and it's South Carolina not winning. They weren't just a favorite. They were a prohibitive favorite. And, I mean, many of us, myself included, were just making statements like there's no way anybody else can win. Cat Daddy is in Columbia, South Carolina, and is next.
Big Paul, looking good and sounding good as always. I don't mean to change the subject on you, but y'all have got my phone blown up ever since Friday. I get calls from people. I go in the liquor store, the grocery store, anywhere I go. Cat Daddy, here you doing good on the fine bottom chart thing there. It's like Velveeta counted up.
Yeah, I tell you what, Cat Daddy, hold on a second. We have some breaking news here during your call. This is what has happened. Legend has advanced over JK. Larry has knocked Squirrel out of the tournament. The bottom half, I-Man knocks off Handsome Joe. And in the biggest story of the tournament so far, Cat Daddy prevails. Cat Daddy knocks out Jerome. Cat Daddy is upset, what, Jim and Jerome?
Wow.
Cat Daddy right now is looking like the LSU of the caller bracket.
He's storming through the Ted Williams bracket.
And voting is underway, and you can vote off early and often, as we used to say down in Louisiana.
Well, if I win, do you think I would offend anybody if I wink my ring and wave my thing on my ring like that gal did at the championship?
Yeah, well, you listen, the winner of this is entitled. I mean, this is a trash-talking caller bracket. So if you don't do it, you could be disqualified.
Mr. Feinbaum, I tell you, I sure appreciate it. But you have got a million viewers out there. They love your show. They entertain by it all the time. And go Cat Daddy.
No. Cat Daddy.
Cheers himself.
Cat Daddy doing a little self-promotion there, which is not acceptable, by the way. That's forbidden in the rules. Let's continue now. Chaplain Mac.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, bud?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Good. Don't you think we're all influenced by people that mean a lot to us? I mean, we're the product of our influences. And these kids playing basketball, men or women, you know, their identity hadn't been established all the way. And many times they're finding their identity in other people. And that's why they do what they do a lot of times.
I totally agree with you.
I mean, that's what I did. You know, when they used to say in my generation, man, that was a classless act, or show a lot of class when you're winning, at least do it with class. And now it's more the WWE or the World Wrestling Federation type influence. And the same people that said that's a classless act for basketball players or golfers, you know, they watch wrestling. Now the golf is not quiet. You know, they have arenas and people are screaming and throwing alcoholic beverages on people when they make a hole in one. I mean, it's a change. It's a change of our influences. It's a change of our culture. And everybody's doing it. And until people find their identity, their own identity, they'll act like what the culture's acting like. And that's just my opinion.
Well, it's very accurate opinion. Chaplain, thank you. We head to the break. More guests to come, including a look back on the congressional hearing last week. From Darren Heitner, more of your phone calls as well as we continue here on a Monday afternoon.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. And Darren Heitner joins us. I want to talk about the congressional hearings last night, but we just heard from Kim Mulkey, and that has been the story of the day. Darren, thank you for being here. I just before we get too deep into that part of the conversation with last week, as somebody who deals in the NIL waters every day, just your overall impressions of what we saw over the weekend in Dallas with the women's Final Four and what it means to the future.
Absolutely. First of all, thanks so much for having me back. And we're really starting to see celebrities, not only on the men's side of sports, but the female side as well. I remember so many people questioning back July 2021, will there be an unfair advantage for males over females? And we've seen the rise of celebrities like some of my clients, the Cavender twins, or even Angel Reese, who we filed a trademark application for back in January for Bayou Barbie. She's done, I think, 20 plus NIL deals already. And you better believe that those deals are going to keep coming, especially after this national championship. She's so engaging. She has a huge following. And I think, you know, what we saw on the court and even off of it will only make her more marketable.
Darren, the dust up afterwards, certainly everyone is opining on, but I realize you're an attorney, but you deal with brands. For the brand, it just seems like that has been the subject all day long. I'm surmising that has to be good, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Look at the engagement. Look at how many eyeballs. We're talking about the women's national championship almost 24 hours after it ended. When has that ever occurred in the history of this sport? So this is tremendous for the sport and also for the individual athletes, and especially for Angel Reese.
We also saw Miami make quite a run in both men's and women's, and I realize you're down in Florida and you interact with that school and the players quite a bit. Some have made a lot out of it. Some are just pointing out the obvious. But what do you see in the relationship between NIL and what happened down there?
Well, look, I mean, you look at Nigel Pack and what he said publicly, which is that he wanted to play for a contender. The same is true for Haley and Hannah Cavender, who transferred from their respective schools. But at the end of the day, I'm sure they were thinking in the back of their minds that they come to a place like South Florida, and in particular Miami, and there are going to be NIL opportunities abound. And they know that there is a very prominent booster there who's willing to open up his wallet through his companies and provide support. So it absolutely plays a role. I'm not sure that it is the only reason why players would be transferring or committing to schools, but we would be naive to think that it plays no role whatsoever.
Darren, let's get back to the other day. Another major moment, seemingly, for NIL with Congress having a hearing. I mean, again, I'm watching it in bits and pieces. You understand it a lot better. Your impressions of everything that happened in the House last week, what does it mean and where do we go from here?
My first impression is that Congress is once again at least taking the issue seriously with Charlie Baker now leading the NCAA. However, this was the eighth hearing on Capitol Hill concerning NIL in the past couple of years. And we've already seen over 10 pieces of legislation that have been drafted that never even reached the floor of the House or the Senate for debate. I don't think that's going to change. It seems as though everybody on Capitol Hill is not really focused on NIL. There was so much discussion about whether college athletes should be labeled as employees or not, or health and safety concerns. When NIL was addressed, the only discussion was, is there some disparity on a state-by-state basis, and do we need to get involved? And I only heard conclusory allegation after conclusory allegation, whereas it was so simple, it seemed, for roughly 25 states to pass respective NIL bills and turn them into law. We haven't seen that at the national level, where people on both sides of the aisle can come together and stay focused. Instead, it seemed like everyone wanted to talk about their alma mater. I heard of Go Gators a few times and Go Dogs, but not much in terms of actual legal discussion when it came to NIL.
And Darren, not to make too much out of it, but most in my profession or in everyone's profession are praising the emergence of Charlie Baker. Yeah, he gets Capitol Hill. He spent a lot of time there. He's a politician. He's not Mark Emmert, who was a polarizing figure. But will it matter?
It depends on what that means. I think, again, if the question is, will it matter in terms of actually pushing the envelope and causing Congress to put their respective interests aside and get an NIL bill passed? I don't think so. But I think it will help, at least from a public perception standpoint, for the NCAA. I do believe that he's much more polished than Mark Emmert. He does have the requisite experience and I think has the attention of legislators in Washington, D.C. But ultimately, I think that will fall short of what's necessary to get consensus and actually to keep interest of those individuals, especially when there's such more, much, much larger geopolitical issues abroad and a lot of issues domestically that I think Capitol Hill should be much more focused on.
And Darren, I talked to a lot of people in on both sides, you know, people that are in the intercollegiate athletic world, and they spend a lot of time up there, as you know, and they're meeting with party leaders and major figures, and but it seems like a year later, I'm hearing the same thing that we just got through talking about. So, is there an end game for college leaders to keep talking about congressional intervention when you and I realize that there are bigger problems right now, and it's hard to imagine with an election around the corner, this is going to get put at the front of the line?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. I really don't think it's about NIL for college leaders, for athletic directors, presidents, and the NCAA at large. I think it's about a concern that college athletes will ultimately be labeled as employees and what that means. Particularly because we're seeing more attention paid to it through the judicial system outside of Congress and also through the National Labor Relations Board. And then I think separately, the NCAA is very concerned about their exposure by not allowing college athletes for so long to take advantage of their publicity rights and what that means. And they're begging Congress for an antitrust exemption. I've heard whispers that they're asking for it so that they can actually enforce the NIL rules that really have not been enforced for 2 years. I don't buy that, but at least that's the justification that Charlie Baker and the rest of the NCAA are providing Congress leaders behind closed doors.
Darren, before you go, the legal part of it, and that, I think that is the most important. So without knowing the future, except there are more cases piling up and we're getting closer to what you just referred, what happens if and when that does occur, where we start seeing judicial rulings making athletes employees?
Well, at least right now, the case that seems to be furthest along that actually was just heard on an appeal related to a motion to dismiss relates to not necessarily allowing college athletes the right to bargain for any type of wages, but at a minimum wage. And again, it's still in the early stages of that particular litigation, but it was interesting to hear the commentary from appellate judges who seem to think that these athletes have been wrongfully labeled as not being employees for a very long time. If there is a shift, I think the biggest question becomes, do all athletes at all schools, at all divisions, are they all now classified as employees? And how does that impact some of the schools, particularly those that aren't generating a lot of revenue? And if not, do you say that in some sports, athletes are labeled as employees while they're not in other sports? And at that point in time, you also wonder what happens to Title IX, but that's a whole other discussion.
Well, this was a fantastic conversation. Thank you, Darren. Thank you very much, Darren Heitner, one of the leading, on the leading edge of those who are in the middle of this NIL conversation on both sides. We head to the break right now with more of your phone calls around the corner. We've had a busy show. Michael Eaves, a little bit later on, live from Augusta.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. And before we head to the top half of the second half of the show, let us welcome into the program one of the four finalists for Feinbaum Caller of the Year. Legend is next.
Nice. Woo! Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started in here. Woo! What's up, my black hat brother? What's up, baby? What's up?
We are doing great. Welcome back.
Thank you, brother. I'd just like to say I appreciate the Feinbaum bracket, and it's an honor to go up against Larry. I give Larry a lot of trash talk, but really deep down, I'm a big fan of Larry, big fan of Larry. Maybe one of these days we can go out on the pontoon and have a beer with one life day.
Spoken like the favorite in the Feinbaum caller bracket.
If I win it again, there will be a dynasty ceremony. But any other four can win it.
Well, you got to, don't forget, once you get past this round, you have possibly I-Man on the other side.
Uh-oh, or Cat Daddy, both great callers. Me and I-Man was in the final last year. But, Paul, I'd like to say something about two callers, and then I'd like to defend Stephen M. Smith right quick. First of all, let me say about Dwayne, I like it. You got a new man to open the show. We cut a few players. We got a few people that quit. But, man, the new talent, man, I love it. I love Dwayne. But just remember one thing, Dwayne. You 2-9 against me in the last 11, baby. LSU's always a monster. But I am the monster. Remember it. Alabama is the monster, Dwayne. Great caller, though, dude. So glad to have you on the Flying Bomb team, man. And it's a great team. The people that listen, the people that call, a great family. A great, my only family at the moment. A great family. And let me say this. You know, Gene Paul, the guy that calls us on got treatment from Georgia.
Oh, yeah, the kidney dialysis treatment.
Yeah, I heard him say something nice about me last week. And I want to just say this, G. I appreciate you recognize I'm just having fun. The reason I talk about Georgia so much, hell, they on the mountaintop. I'm coming for you, baby. But a black hat for G, and man, we're praying for you and hope you get better, man. Now about Stephen M. Smith, Paul. I like a reporter that's got the kahunas to put it out there, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Not somebody talking about, I don't know what my favorite team is, da-da-da-da-da-da. No, he put it out there, baby. Nick Saban ain't never went 3 years without winning one. You can look at this Alabama team and don't say they don't have talent if you want to, but I look at this Alabama team and see Dallas Turner and Chris Braswell on the edge, two future first-round draft picks, Kool-Aid McKenzie, the number one quarterback in the draft next year at corner, baby. J.C. Latham, man, on that offensive line with Scott McLaughlin and Thomas Booker, them nice running back. And we're deep at wide receiver, Paul. Pinterest, Isaiah Bond, Jermaine Burton, Kahori Brooks. Baby, we deep, man. The only question I have, Paul, and I know you do, is quarterback. And I've learned with the Indianapolis Colts, baby, if you don't have a quarterback, you're in trouble. And I'm a little weary of our quarterback situation, but at the end of the day, Nick Saban's on the throne. He's the GOAT. He's going to figure it out. And what they're saying about Jalen Milroe right now is the same thing they said about Jalen Hurts, Paul. Same thing, man. So I'm not worried. Let me tell you what the Alabama players said last week at practice. We're coming for it. And we're coming for it all, baby. Woo! Elvis has left the building.
Sonny is up next. Good afternoon, Sonny.
Yes. Paul, I live about 8 miles from where Kim Mulkey was raised. And know a few stories. Her dad built her a basketball goal with a light on it. And Kim would be out there all hours of the night shooting baskets. I mean, from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Another thing, whenever she was in high school, her dad was on a town league basketball team. And she would go to practice with him sometimes when she was in high school. And if somebody didn't show up for their men's practice, she would play with them. And, I mean, there was people out there 6 foot tall and taller. And she was out there playing with them. Well, when she got with them little girls in high school, they didn't know where she was half the time. Another thing, I don't know, you may know this, but she's the only person I know of that played and won on a high school state championship team, played and won on a college championship ball club, played and won on the Olympics championship ball club, and then coached at a college championship ball club in two different places. I don't know if anybody else has ever done that.
No, I mean, she's already in the Hall of Fame, but I think right now Kim has clearly moved into Mount Rushmore range with Pat and Gino, and there's no disputing it. I mean, she's the only one after those two who have, 19 national championships between them, who has four national championships. It's significant. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Two more hours to go. We hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.